This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Your phone calls on the Knicks forcing a game six. Yankees getting set for the Dodgers. We'll talk to CP the franchise in just a few minutes. His thoughts on the state of the Knicks as they bounced back yesterday with a resounding game five victory, keeping their season alive for tomorrow night in Indiana. But at 5:06, it's time for your daily Cinco de Five-O.
Cinco de Five-O with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
All right, Cinco Day 5-0 is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. Before I get to my Cinco, I do want to have a little payoff here. Congrats to Jacob in Staten Island, Evan and Tiki listener. You have won a pair of tickets to see Post Malone at Citi Field next Wednesday on June 4th from our friends at Live Nation. To purchase tickets, visit LiveNation.com, and we'll have sporadic tickets throughout the summer here for Live Nation events. Keep it locked to Evan and Tiki. All right, Cinco Day 5-0 time. The Knicks enter a huge game six, of course, season on the line. They have played a lot of these in the Jalen Brunson era. So we're going to give you a little trip down history road today. The last five game sixes for the Knicks in the Brunson era, what happened?
So right? What's the list?
The list is just reminding you how these game sixes have worked out.
Gotcha.
You hate it.
No, I just...
Say you hate it.
All I was asking was clarification.
I
said okay.
It's just a little reminder. What has happened in recent Brunson history?
That's fantastic.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
We're going to work recent to not recent. This last round, blowout versus the Celtics, 119-81. Feet up spot.
Yeah, it's amazing. So last night's win was a coast-to-coast, wire-to-wire win. Mm-hmm. In fact, the only time the Knicks didn't have a lead were the first 18 seconds of the game. After that, they went up 2-0, then 4-0, never relinquished the lead, was never even tied. So that's a wire-to-wire victory. The game against Boston wasn't even a wire-to-wire victory. So this one, while maybe not as comfortable as the Boston one, was one of those rare ones where they never trailed and were only tied for literally 18 seconds.
This is not a best of list.
It's not.
This is just a sequential list.
It's setting the scene for tomorrow.
Got it.
We've played a lot of game sixes in the Brunson
era.
Is that
the first time you've ever done that, where you're not actually giving a list and just naming things in order?
Yeah, I kind of think, I think it fit.
It's a first.
I'm trying something different. I think it fit.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Number four.
Just reminding us.
Yeah. Round one this year versus Detroit. Jalen Brunson, 40 points. Knicks win 116-113 to advance to play the Celtics. We'll sweat. We'll call it a mini sweat.
That was a sweat.
But you had the Brunson 40.
That was a sweat. I mean, you had game seven in your back pocket, but after losing game five, it was a sweat. But Jalen delivered like he always does.
So we're 2-0 so far. Now let's get to number three.
Number three.
Game six last year, 2024, second round versus the Indiana Pacers. Knicks looking to close out the series. They lose 116-103 despite Brunson's 31. Now, how did Indiana win? Pascal Siakam was their leading scorer with 25 points. Keep an eye on him tomorrow.
I don't remember anything about that game. I really don't.
No.
And I think sometimes
they lost. Yeah.
There are so many postseason games when you're a good basketball team, which the Knicks clearly are, that they start to run together. Like, there are certain games in that series I definitely remember. Like, game three jumps out at me.
Seven, you obviously remember.
Game seven, game five jumps out at me. Game six does not.
You know why it doesn't? I'll tell you why.
They got blown out.
Friday night, we didn't talk about it. Game seven was Sunday.
Interesting. So we never actually talked about
talked about the game, so you wouldn't rehash it.
Fair enough.
Here we go. So 2-1 so far. Here we go.
Number two.
Game six last year, first round. We were in the building.
Yes.
Sixers-Knicks. The Knicks eliminate them 118-115 back and forth. There was a big Buddy Hield game. Brunson dropped 41. So now we're 3-1 of these games.
That game will be featured in my new book I'm now working on. Thank you to Gio for giving me the idea called In the Building.
That was an epic game.
In the Building.
Epic game.
That was an epic game and an epic experience. You had guys trying to fight Tiki Barber and Sean Morash. Me and Loogie were hanging out at the Revolutionary Row.
Revolutionary Row.
And we took over the city of Philly.
Is FOMO Cheeks making the book?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Number one.
And the first game six in the Jalen Brunson era, I believe, unless I missed one earlier past this, was 2023 round two versus Miami. The Heat eliminate the Knicks 96-92. Of those 92 points, Brunson scored 41 points again. So this whole exercise here is 3-2 in the Brunson era in these last five game sixes. And 41 points in that game versus Miami, 41 versus Philly, 31 versus the Pacers last year, and 40 versus Detroit earlier in the year. This has been a big Brunson spot in Game 6. Big Bulls Brunson, some are calling.
Oh, definitely. What I remember about Game 6 was he delivered the 41, but he blamed himself because there was a possession late in that Game 6 where he either turned it over or something happened where it was on Jalen Brunson and he took accountability for it. But, yeah, I mean, he's come up big, bro. There's no doubt about it. And I would expect that in Game 6 tomorrow night. I would expect that. Just like we kind of all expected that Jalen would deliver in Game 5, and he really did, especially in the first 6-7 minutes of the game, setting the tone, hitting six of his first seven shots. So I'll set the over-under at 36.5 in terms of points in Game 6.
Okay, so you scoffed when we started. It ended. Different idea. Ran a different play for Cinco. Yay or nay?
I never scoffed at the idea. You have this like
he just
weird...
misunderstood what you were saying.
Yeah,
but
I was just clarifying.
But I liked it.
We keep it in the Rolodex.
It was good.
It was good. It was fine.
It was good because it was specific. It gives you an idea of what Jalen Brunson does in Game 6.
Yeah. Thank you.
It was a good memory refresher.
It was informative.
Yeah, all
right. That way.
Yeah, there was a good informative Cinco. But you got to get over thinking the worst out of me, and even Tiki, like thinking, oh, he must not like it. He asked a question.
Oh, I never
clarified.
I'm going to clarify. I never think the worst of Tiki. Did you in your reaction?
Nah, you did. Because when Tiki even said, so, this is just in order, I saw the look on your face. You were like really scared off. All right, thank you, Sean. There's your Cinco de 5-0 every day at 5 o'clock. So 36.5 is my over-under. Does he hit the over tomorrow?
Over. Definitely over.
Dropping 40?
Dropping 40.
Yeah, I kind of expect that too. I really do. He is.
But it's going to be everybody else. It's going to be what he does turnover-wise and what everybody else does. As long as Cat.
Oh, absolutely. Like, the key to the game isn't necessarily how good Jalen Brunson's going to be.
It's going to be good.
Right. It's a lot of the other things. I mean, one of the keys for Jalen Brunson is how well is he going to defend?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I looked at yesterday's game and said, I thought he defended at an average level. And if he could do it at an average level, that's a huge victory. Anyhow, before the show, I asked Sal Licata the question I ask him every day. Is the NL East over?
Hey, Sal Licata, is the NL East over?
The NL East over?
Did you enjoy what took place at Madison Square Garden? Because I'll be honest with you, Ev, all I was thinking about was you being miserable watching the Knicks extend this series. Take that!
So again,
it's the second day in a row, maybe third day in a row, where he's choosing to answer a question that's not asked.
I respect it. Sal has realized, you know what? If you're going to bother me with this NL East is over question, I'm going to hijack it and make it about whatever I want. And so for him, it was thinking about peeping on the bridge last night. I promise you, I was not miserable last night. I had a really good time. Playoff basketball is special.
Mm-hmm.
Playoff basketball is fun. Look, playoff sports in this town is special.
Right.
I don't want to just say
it's not guaranteed all the time.
It's not guaranteed. Sometimes we go a long time without having it. And so it was. I enjoyed it. I had a good time last night. Let's go to Anthony in Woodhaven. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just wanted to give you a little heads up on the connections between like Ben Stiller and Chalamet showing up. So like they're all represented by the same agency.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And Bad Bunny also. So if you look at that, like, that's not a coincidence.
What's the agency, I wonder?
Yeah.
One of the big three.
Yeah.
Won't mention it.
One of the big three. They're not hiring us is the point. What I've always heard with the celebrities, I think Craig once told me this, is that if they show you on the screen, that's part of the deal. That means they gave you the tickets. Like, they don't show Spike Lee on the screen at Madison Square Garden.
Because he buys his tickets.
It's his tickets. He buys the tickets himself. Let's go to Alan and Dobbs Ferry. Hey, Alan.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Evan, the bridge is a great spot. I just wanted to confirm that. I worked at the Garden from 2009, 2014, so I went through the LeBron era, Carmelo, all that stuff. And Talking about celebrities, I have a quick funny story, and it relates to you two guys, because I went down to a bar. It was a Friday night next to the Garden, and the Knicks were playing the Lakers on Sunday night, and I ran into this guy, Chris McDonald, who is the Happy Gilmore fame, and he was doing a movie with Tom Hanks at the time, and he wanted to get Nick tickets on Sunday, so I called the marketing person, and you know what she told me? She said, yeah, we'll get him tickets to Sunday for the game. It was an ABC network game. He said, but he has to show up with Tom Hanks or he doesn't get in. So it was hilarious. And I'm thinking of you two guys. I'm saying Evan and Tiki. I'm saying, that's like Evan saying, I'm coming with Tiki Barber. And they say, if you don't show up with Tiki, you're not getting in, Evan.
Absolutely. I mean, it's smart on their part. Like, they don't want that. No name, no offense to Chris. Uh-huh. Like, they need the big star. It's a very good example. That's like me and Tiki. And as far as the bridge is concerned, here's the way I look at the bridge. If you've never sat on the bridge, if you just see it from afar or see pictures taken from afar.
Yeah, because if you're down on whatever, Celebrity Row, it's very far.
It's very far. But even if you're not, you're anywhere in the building, you look at the bridge, your assumption is it's not a good seat. Anyone who's been on the bridge knows it is one of the most underrated seats at Madison Square Garden, if you actually care about watching the game. I like watching the game. I sat there last night. I was keeping track. I had my little tablet out. And I was watching the basketball game. And it is the most underrated seat at Madison Square Garden. And here's the guy who will prove it. Because I know you've been there before, obviously. And that, of course, is the great CP the Franchise, Knick Fan TV. CP, your honest opinion on watching a Knicks game from the Chase Bridge.
It's good. It is good. We've actually done fan events from the bridge. The vantage point is it's good viewing up there, man. It's really not a bad experience. I saw you were up there with your, what'd you have, a bologna sandwich? What was going on up there, man? How did you score the bologna sandwich in the garden?
Man? Oh, dude, they have this wonderful like deli right on the Chase Bridge where they sell sandwiches. Yeah. They sell paninis and they sell Italian sandwiches. And that is my go-to whenever I go to the garden. I eat like a big-ass sandwich and it was so good. Yeah, I got to tell you, CP, I had a great time last night. I love the garden. Great place.
What did you wear? Did you go in civilian clothes or were you decked out in orange and blue, man? What did you wear last night?
What do you think I wore last night?
Ah, here we go, man. What did you wear, like a Brooks Brothers sweater? What did you wear, man?
I wore regular clothes. I wore civilian clothes. And I didn't cheer or anything. Like,
you know he doesn't own a Brooks Brothers sweater.
That's a good point. There's a good point. I sat there and I watched a good, hard, fun basketball game. Give me your thoughts. I want to start with what you guys did to Tyrese Halliburton or what he did to himself. Like, give me your interpretation on what slowed down Tyrese Halliburton last night.
But you got to play defense with heart and passion, man. You know, the intensity was up a notch. And look, you can question whether or not the Pacers had the requisite killer instinct to finish the Knicks off last night. And obviously the Knicks were going to be a desperate team with elimination on their heels. But I thought overall their defensive intensity from Mikal Bridges, sometimes picking up from 94 feet, you know, OG Anunoby, I mean, Mitchell Robinson, like to a T, as a team, their defense on Halliburton was very stout. At points, you saw them put two on the ball to take the ball out of his hands and get him flustered in that regard. And so they have to maintain that. You can't expect them to take only seven shots in game six. So they were lucky there. But I thought overall their defensive pressure on Halliburton to get the ball out of his hands was very good in game five.
CP, what impact, if any, because Evan and I have talked over the last really 3 weeks about home court being basically dead in the NBA because it hasn't really mattered. I mean, this is the first loss, right, for the Pacers on the road.
Yeah.
I feel like the Knicks dominated on the road, obviously in Boston. But what impact, if any, did the Garden crowd have? Because I just saw the show. I was home, but I saw the social media posts. They were insane, the energy that felt like it was in the crowd. But what was that impact, if any?
Yeah, well, I think once Gail King arrived, I think that's what really rallied the troops. You know what I mean? They were ecstatic to see Gail King and Timothy and Kylie. I think that's what really turned it over. But no, honestly, man, it's their effort and their play. You know this, Deaky, man. This is a blue-collar town. You have to come to play every night. And if you give the Garden faithful something to cheer for, they will let you hear it. And look, facing elimination, this Knicks team, as I said, they started with their defense. I mean, look at a guy like a Landry Shamet. This guy's getting his flowers for knocking the ball out of McConnell's hands and forcing a turnover. Like, little things like that will get the Garden faithful going. And, you know, Mitchell Robinson forcing turnovers, Jalen Brunson setting a great tone with those 14 first quarter points, 16 in the third. I mean, you know, the Knicks just gave a full 48-minute effort and a wire-to-wire win. That's what gets the Garden crowd going.
And go ahead.
I was going to say, like, Shamet getting the Landry Shamet chance, which no one had on their bingo card, you're right, didn't necessarily come from him hitting a long two or an open three. It was the fact that his defense was stout all over the place. But where did you have that on your Knicks bingo card that Landry Shamet would get chance at Madison Square Garden in the midst of a game five?
Yeah. Well, I know at that time you were up on the Chase Bridge hating as part of the Brooklyn Brigade because you used to play for the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, I remember. And I hated him on the Nets too. I found an old tweet of mine from 2021 where I was like, I hate Landry Shamet.
Yeah. No, but you know what? To be honest, with both Shamet and Dellen Wright, I thought this was a series where both of those guys would be needed. Number one, because campaign has been abysmal. But number two, like, you need that energy and you need that hustle. And one thing that Shamet has brought all year, even though his shot has been up and down, it's been inconsistent, his defensive energy never wavered. So he's come in now and been very good defensively. He's getting very skinny on the pick and rolls. I mean, his effort, as I said, turning the ball over on McConnell, like those little things in terms of slowing down the Pacers' offense and limiting or even stopping their possessions, those are those margin plays that can help you win this series.
CB, you think he can become a viable alternative should any of these other guys get in foul trouble, particularly on Tyrese Halliburton?
You frustrate Tyrese Halliburton. He has a rough day, like we've seen not only yesterday in Game 5, but you've seen it really over the course of his career. So is he a viable option to do that for, I don't want to say extended minutes, but, you know, more than 10?
I'd like DeLon Wright in that regard, if that happens. If Mikal Bridges or one of those guys gets into foul trouble, you have DeLon Wright. He's 6'5". He's got good anticipation skills, and it has good wingspan. He's a very good defensive player. Now, his offense, you know, it's kind of herky-jerky there, as you can see. But, look, his minutes, along with Chamet, those guys can provide that defensive pressure that this team needs. And if you look at the way that Thibodeau has staggered those guys with Karl-Anthony Towns, you provide a nice little shell around Towns with good defenders, and then offensively, he's your go-to guy when he's running out there with that second unit.
Yeah, we saw that in the second quarter when Jalen went to the bench, and they had Wright, Deuce, Shamet, Hart, and Cat. Wright, Shamet, OG, Hart, and Cat, and they were very effective. It's when they built up one of their biggest leads, and he also did a good job of separating Brunson and Cat. Like, they were not playing on the floor a lot in this game, really just the open of the game, the open of the second half, and then really closing time once things got out of reach.
Yeah, you're going to need that, especially in Game 6. You don't want the two of those guys out there for extended minutes. I think they only shared the court for 26 minutes last night, so that was really good. And the way what Tibbs did was he sat Karl-Anthony Towns first, left Mitchell Robinson out there. Then you saw Brunson and Robinson gain some chemistry. And then, you know, Towns came in. You saw a little bit of double bigs. But, you know, Towns has a good way of helping staggering the lineups themselves with the ridiculous fouls that he picks up in the game. So, that almost hurt them in the third quarter, but thankfully they were able to pull away.
Go ahead. One of the things that, you know, CP, that we keep...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Seeing. And we're getting, I want to say, pretty good accountability from both of these teams in their post-game comments. And the Knicks did this after Game 4, where they said, we just didn't have the energy, right? They wanted it more fire, except for the Pacers. You heard basically the same thing from the Pacers yesterday. They wanted it more. This is the Eastern Conference Finals. Why do we keep hearing that from these two teams? Like, I know it's seven games. It's a long series, but damn it, every game matters.
Yeah, every game matters. And, you know, I kind of go back to the question I asked Kendrick Perkins when he was on Knicks Fan TV with me last year in terms of what makes the elimination game so hard. And he mentioned it. He said, look, you know, you're going to get that team's best effort. They're going to be a desperate team out there. And maybe it's just a case of human nature where you kind of take your foot off the gas a little bit there. Look, the Pacers played a hellacious, you know, high-paced game in game four. Where, hey, maybe with the travel and coming in at Madison Square Garden, they just didn't have the proper energy to close the Knicks out. But that's where I think game six, that is going to be the war of this series because the Pacers are not going to want to come back here for game seven. And the Knicks understand that, look, they're going to get a much more intense and a better effort from these Pacers. So the Knicks are going to have to be on guard there from a defensive standpoint and their decision-making as well.
There are two things from this win that I look at and say this would worry me in a game six. Number one, Thibodeau loves that original five. I mean, he always goes back to it. As much as he changed it, like we saw him close the first half with it, we saw him close the game with it, and he continues to love it. I don't know about you, I don't trust it. And number two, he buries Mitchell Robinson. Like, when they hacked a Mitch in the third quarter, and he missed the two free throws and he took him out, we never saw him again. Yeah. And that was the same thing two games ago when he didn't play in the fourth quarter. Your thoughts on those two issues with Tom Thibodeau?
Makes me nervous, man. Makes me nervous. The over-reliance of Hart, it's nerve-wracking because you look at that sequence. Mitchell Robinson had an outstanding sequence in that third quarter where he blocked a Halliburton scoop layup. He knocks the ball out of Miles Turner's hands, causing a turnover. And then on the other side, he gets a putback for the score. Like, those are the things that Mitchell Robinson does for the Knicks that he does well. And Josh Hart, on the other hand, he was better in game five than in game four, but the decision-making is just killing the Knicks. And I don't know if I can go down in crunch time against this Pacer offense where you have Brunson, a defensive liability, Towns, a defensive liability, and Josh Hart late in those games can be a defensive liability.
Right.
He has those lapses where he's giving up backdoor cuts or his on-ball defense is just not as quick as he needs to be. I'm closing with Mitchell Robinson, but for Tom Thibodeau, Josh Hart, that's his closer, man. So,
I think maybe one of the challenges, and I don't know if you noticed this, I mean, he started the game and he played 10 minutes. I mean, he was gassed, right? He's just not used to those amount of minutes. And so he's averaging about 20. It's like 19 or 20 per game. And it's almost like he's on a pitch count. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like when he gets to that moment, it's like, all right, you're done. But I think in order for them to be their best, especially if these games are tight, it's almost Mitch has to step up to another level, even though he's been fantastic for most of this series.
They can't be a championship team without him. I've been saying it. They can't go the distance without Mitchell Robinson being a big impact here. You just have to be able to protect both Brunson and Towns as best as you can and put the best defenders around them. And Hart's defense has been slipping. On top of that, his decision-making just has not been that strong. And so, you know, we're going to have to see how they manage it. Now, look, if there's a situation where the Pacers is just running these guys out of the gym with their pace and they're nullifying Mitch, then okay, you go a little bit smaller, but to protect the rim, to be stronger on the perimeter, and also to lock up those rebounds, which is going to be key, keeping those Pacers off the glass, I think Mitchell Robinson's going to be key here to close it.
We're talking to CP, the franchise. Check out Knick Fan TV after all these games, previewing games. All right, what's your gut now? I mean, we got a game six in Indiana. Yeah. Obviously, the Knicks survived. They came out with a great amount of intensity. Jalen Brunson set the tone early. Different animal now going back to Indiana. What's your gut on how this plays out tomorrow?
Different animal. I think it comes down to the distance. It goes down to the wire once again in this game. But the Knicks have got to do these things before that to get there. They've got to play great defense. They've got to start the first quarter out well, the third quarter as well. And the decision-making has to be on point from beginning to end. They can beat this team, but if they don't do those things, it's going to be a rough night. Benedict Mathurin is a guy that I'm going to keep an eye out on because the last two games, he's been really good off the bench.
Yeah.
And getting to the free throw line using his athleticism, the Knicks haven't been able to solve that puzzle. First it was McConnell, now it's Mathurin. Be careful, and they have to watch out for him. But overall, look, I think Brunson and Towns will be able to have their advantages as they've had all series. Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby, even Deuce McBride, those guys have to be able to help, because you can expect the Pacer defense to be a lot more intense. I think the referees, they'll get the benefit of the whistle, and so it's going to be all hands on deck, especially for that supporting cast.
Should be very, very interesting. We will definitely talk to you next week, CP. Enjoy the weekend. Good luck. We appreciate you popping on, man.
Yes, sir. My guys, have a great weekend, man.
Be good, CP.
CP, the franchise, game six tomorrow night. Game's over. They do a great job on YouTube, Knick Fan TV. By the way, early look at the NBA Finals. If this makes anyone feel better or good, the Oklahoma City Thunder will be bigger favorites against the Pacers than they would be the New York Knicks.
That's interesting.
Now, they are...
But how you figure that?
How do you figure that?
Yeah.
I think it's just kind of going back to the way this series started. They were respected as better than Indiana. They were the favorites.
Yeah, I understand that.
It's as simple as that. They're just considered to be better.
But when you think about OKC, they score, man. And so,
and they defend better than anybody. True. They're everything.
Right, they're everything. But who has a better chance of keeping up scoring? I would think the Pacers.
Yeah.
What about momentum if the Knicks rip off three in a row to get there?
Or fatigue.
Okay. Now, just so you know, the Knicks, even though they're less of a dog than Indiana, will still be a bigger underdog than the Giants were when they faced the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
No, we're not going back.
I'm just saying. Just giving you the numbers.
Evan, I'd actually be willing to have that conversation more than the Celtics.
Because it's the finals?
Mm-hmm. Not only because it's the finals, but historically speaking, the Thunder had a historically great regular season. So at least we're in the discussion topic of what the Patriot looked
like. You are right about that. I think why people hesitate with Oklahoma City is because they haven't won it all yet. This is their first NBA finals in this era. Obviously, they made it in the Durant, Harden, Westbrook era. But if you look at what they accomplished this season... They are a historically great team.
Yeah.
But I think we have a tough time going all the way with that until you've won something. Like that Patriot team, even though they didn't win the Super Bowl, they had a dynasty years earlier. They had a coach that won before. They had a quarterback that's won before. So it was easy to say, oh, that's an all-time great team. Because at least the franchise with a lot of those core players, or some of those core players, had won before. But we'll see if we get to that discussion. The Oklahoma City Thunder are sitting, and they are waiting very patiently. We will come back with your phone calls, 888-808-1019, and we'll set you up for the baseball weekend as well. A World Series rematch in L.A., and a weekend where the Mets have a lot of pressure. They have to win every single game. Friday here in New York City, there is some rain in the forecast tonight. In fact, it's impacting the Met game a little bit. The Mets are taking on the Colorado Rockies, and why they hope to play. It's supposed to be fireworks night at Citi Field, and they have announced that they're canceling the fireworks, so... My apologies if you're heading out to Citi Field not wanting to watch Mets-Rockies, but wanting to watch fireworks. You're not going to get that tonight because the weather is crappy. But then it's supposed to be pretty nice. I was looking at the forecast for next week. We're about to get some real feel of summer, like 80s. That's when you know it's the summer.
Yeah, when it's consistently hot. That's when my pool finally starts to get warm because it's not hooked up to the heater. But it gets baked in the sun. So if it's heated and it's baked in the sun, it's going to be way too hot. So we just wait till the sun heats.
Interesting. I am not.
So next week it'll start getting warm.
I don't have a pool, but if I did have a pool, I would be so snobby, I would need a heater.
Really?
Yes.
That defeats the purpose of a pool.
What are you talking about?
The pool is to refresh yourself.
Yeah, but is it
not to like bathe and just relax and chill?
Yes.
No, that's what you have a hot tub for.
Yeah, I guess I'm a hot tub guy.
But you don't leave the heater on in the summer. You let it refresh. It's like for now. You know, a little chilly, you want to go in the pool?
Yeah, I just go in the hot tub, even though I haven't been in the pool yet. The girls get hot, though.
The problem is, if it's too cold, it's not refreshing. It's freezing. You jump in, and it's like, oh, it's like a culture shock.
So I run. So I go for runs, and then I'm dying because it's humid or whatever, even if it's not hot. I jump in the pool because it's refreshing, if it's freezing.
All right. Listen, I get it. I'm different. I just want that. I want that pool as warm as possible.
Most people are like you.
Oh, okay.
And I can't stand getting in people's pools that are 80 plus.
Oh, it feels good.
No, it doesn't. It
feels like a hot tub.
I got in 62 degree water today. All I can say is my extremities have not grown back.
And it's funny with that, because you hear 60 degrees, you're like, oh, that's not that bad. But if you feel 60 degrees, it's freezing.
It is.
If you feel 70 degrees, it's freezing.
Well, it's dangerous, because it's 30 degrees below your body temperature.
Oh, is that how it works?
I mean, it just puts you into hyperthermic.
So if you touch 80 degrees, like if your pool water is 80 degrees, how would that feel when you first touch it? Is that going to feel cold,
it's gonna
too?
Because it's It depends on what the air temperature is.
Right.
So if the air temperature is higher, it's going to feel cold. But if the air temperature is lower, it's going to feel warm.
I like warm temperatures of water, but I'll never forget. I was driving down south with my wife. We did a southern road trip. We hit all these southern states. Mm-hmm. And I said, we got to get to the Gulf of Mexico. Like, I got to feel the Gulf of Mexico. Gulf of America, whatever. I drive down. We get there. We're all excited. Like, let's touch it. I put my hand in. It was boiling. And it was disgusting. I thought it was too warm.
Yeah.
I was like, this ain't real. What? Was it 98 degrees?
Where was that at?
In Mississippi,
Mississippi.
I think.
So we went to the Keys, and the pool was like that. It was so hot.
The pool or the water?
The pool water.
Oh, the pool water. See, I'm talking about the actual Gulf.
Oh, the Gulf. We didn't get in the water. Ocean.
It was that warm, which I was stunned by, because I'm like so used to touching the ocean and
having it
shallow,
right?
Is it shallow? It's shallow, and I guess we were just going through such a period of time where it was so hot out.
Global warming.
Yeah, they just call it. Warmed it up, and it felt like urine. It was just not, wasn't my jam.
Gonna pick something else.
Let's get to your telephone calls. Obviously, a lot on the table with the Knicks advancing to a game six. They will play tomorrow night with a chance of hoping to keep this season going for a game seven. Yankees with a World Series rematch against the Dodgers, and obviously the Mets in a spot where they just can't lose. They got to beat the Rockies. The Rockies have put together one of the worst starts in the history of baseball. So they got to beat them. Let's go to Steve in Staten Island. How are you, Steve?
Hey, man. What's going on?
All's good.
Good afternoon, guys. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. What's up,
so,
man?
So, Evan, I got a thing for you with your scorecard idea, your scorecard that you want to, you're trying to capitalize on.
Yeah.
So I was thinking you design the scorecard, but you make it erasable. So it comes with markers and an eraser, and you partner with a football magazine. And you edit as an add-on, and it can be the add-on, the fan, voice of an angel, Evan Robertson's, you know, Mets or scorecard. People can take it to games with them and erase it and read.
That's actually a very creative idea. Well, thank you very much, Steve. I'll have to. Right now, I'm distracted because I want to write this book that Gio mocked me for.
Right.
In
it's
the
a
building.
Different book.
Yeah, this is a different book. This is me writing a second book. My first book was about my scorecards.
Mm-hmm.
My second book is going to be about going to big sporting events, because the more I think about it, I got a laundry list of some big ones.
Well, yeah, and you go to an event, multiple events a year, different sports.
Yeah.
So you never know what you picked up or learned from one of those events.
Those giant Super Bowl ones are big. That's your headline. I think of all the sporting events I've been to, the number one thing may be the Giants' first Super Bowl against the Patriots.
Any profound ones this year?
This year?
Just meaning this past season's.
Profound
so not,
ones?
So not the current Yankees-Mets, but the previous one.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, actually, no, now that I think about it, because most of it was on the road.
I'm trying to think, like, what happened?
From the Mets season, which was such a magical year, if I had to pick a game I was at, because, again, you're right, a lot of their amazing wins, right, like the one in Milwaukee's on the road,
yep,
game 161's in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
What would be my number one moment from being at home? They had a few walk-off victories. Brandon Nimmo had one. J.D. Martinez had one.
But you were at?
That I was at. You know which one I'd secretly put number one?
Hmm.
No, I definitely would put Mets-Phillies the closeout game of game four. I think that's easy.
Oh, yeah.
Closing out the division series.
I think we talked about that.
But if it wasn't that, believe it or not, the night they beat the Astros on a Friday night, and Iglesias come out and did the concert.
Mm.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, because OMG was such a big part of the season.
OMG was a big part of the season. It was very
spontaneous.
Spontaneous. Mm. Thank you, Tiki.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you were gone that one day. This guy calls in, and he's like, you know, I love it when Tiki's gone. I was like, oh, God, don't bash my guy. And he says, I just love listening to you idiots butcher the English language without a smart person to correct you. I'm like, ah, it's okay. So that's a great example of it. Tiki was right here to be like, spontaneous. I mean, it's easy. But it was so spontaneous. And even though they ended up losing 2 out of 3, and I know Sean made a big deal of it, like, ah, this is going to sink their season, it was really cool.
Right.
So I think in the non-playoff variety, it was probably that. Let's go to Ron in Marine Park. Good afternoon, Ron.
What's up, fellas?
What's happening, Ron?
What's up, man?
I got a Yankee deadline deal that you, of all people, are going to love.
All right.
We're going to get Jazz moving to third. We're going to get a second baseman who's aging a little bit. But more importantly, we're going to package him with your special boy, DeGrom. DeGrom and Simeon to the Yanks.
You know, it's funny you say that. I was thinking about this morning because I was going through, like, what guys would be available at the trade deadline.
Right.
And we know the Rockies are bad and the White Sox are bad and the Marlins are bad and they don't have a lot of good assets. So what team has talent that may underachieve to the point where they sell guys off? And the Texas Rangers are definitely an interesting candidate. Because if you look at them right now, they're sitting there three games under 500. Now, the problem is they're only four games out of first place.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of high-priced talent, and Marcus Semien and Jacob DeGrom are great examples of that. I just don't think a DeGrom with a no trade is ever going to waive it. Like, I think he's done. I think he's in Texas. He probably likes living there.
Yeah.
His wife likes living there.
He's going to stay.
He's going to stay.
Regardless of what happens.
And I think Chris Young knows that, and he's not even going to entertain trades. Like, I think they know this guy's not going to leave. Semien's contract is such an exorbitant contract. Exorbitant contract. I fixed that one before you corrected me. That I could see them trying to move him. Like, absolutely. But I also don't see the Yankees paying him. Like, that's kind of the problem. So it's a good idea thinking of Texas because they would be a candidate to, like, underachieve and have a lot of talent.
Yeah,
but I don't know if Marcus Semien's the kind of contract they would take back because he's making, like, he signed a seven-year, $175 million deal. So how much money is that a year?
$775?
Seven for $175.
Oh, $175.
Yeah, what's that per year?
$26 or something.
Yeah, and he's sucked for the last 2 years. So you would need Texas to, like, pick up a ton of that contract. And by the way, he's not good. Oswald Peraza's probably better at this point.
Yeah, and they're not out of it. I mean, they're three games under 500, but they're still the race is right there.
But
we're not even at the All-Star break.
The key to that deal, though, is the Yankees could use a strong number three pitcher behind Rodon and Fried. If you got DeGrom, you slide right in there behind those guys.
I see what you're trying to do. I see he's just trying to troll Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah. I'm not. No, I'd love him as a Yankee. Number three is the rotation. Come on.
By the way, you know why I'm not going to argue with you on that? Like, Jake's got a lot to prove. He's got to prove he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
Like, I would
more
say
than right, anything, that's what he's got to do.
Yeah, he's the number two there, though. I put Max Fried number one because Max Fried goes out and makes every start.
Mm-hmm.
But don't start with Rodon. Don't give me that crap.
Lean the AL and strikeouts.
I tell you the guy I would go after from Texas, even though he gets hurt all the time, Corey Seager. That'd be the guy. Now, where would you play him? Whatever. Move him to third base. That's what I would. I'd say, Corey, you're going to go play third base.
Wouldn't be the first time we took a Texas shortstop and moved him to third base.
Exactly. But I think what we have to remember about the Yankees is I don't think they're willing to pay that kind of money. I mean, Corey Seager makes $30 million a year. Yeah. Semien stinks, and he's making a lot of money. I think any move the Yankees make at the trade deadline is probably not going to have a very high price tag. You guys may not like that, yeah, but I do think that's the reality.
But the question is going to be really that necessary. If they keep winning and keep pulling away in the division, even though they lost a half a game to the Rays, because they're now only 6.5 games up in the American League East,
mm-hmm,
like, are they going to really need it?
I think you always need it. Like, even when you're the 98 Yankees, you're always looking for reinforcements. Now, you may need it a lot less than mm-hmm if you were a flawed team, but I think really what it comes down to is, what would the Yankees need? Would it be more of another arm out of the bullpen? Would it be another arm in the rotation, especially if Heal doesn't come back? Like, I think it's certainly fair to argue that the need may not be a second or third baseman.
But I forgot about Heal.
Yeah, he's still to come. But Tiki, to that point, you're right. Do the Yankees need anybody to win this division? Evan's already declared the division over, and he's right.
It is over.
This is goes back to like an argument we had preseason. I'm not trying to argue it, but I think the Yankees now need to approach the deadline with, what do we need to do to win the World Series?
100%.
Yeah. Right.
That's it. So forget, you know, do they need to get past the Rays? It's the Dodgers, the Mets, the Phillies. Like, what do we need to do once we believe we get there to finish what we didn't get to finish last year?
When they're, and we're all sitting here in late July, which is not that far away. It's like a month and a half. We'll be sitting here really in the heat of the trade deadline. The Yankees are going to have a 12-game lead. The mm-hmm AL East is going to be over. If you don't think it's over now, it'll be over then. So you're right. Like, every trade is about, how does this help me in a best-of-five series? Like, if you're trading for a starting pitcher, your question is that guy making a playoff start? Not, is that guy going to help me in late August? Is that guy starting a postseason game?
Yeah, and if you do get a depth move that is in the bullpen, it's just, how big of a move is it actually?
Well, I think with bullpen arms, it's throwing crap against the wall, man.
Right.
I thought the Mets did that a lot last year with a lot of the arms they added, where you bring in Ryan Stanek, you bring in Phil Maton, you bring in Waskar Brazeman. Now, I'm using that as an example because think about how all that went.
Mm-hmm.
Maton was their most reliable reliever of the three until the playoffs. He struggled. Stanek replaced him. Brazeman got sent down. He was a non-factor.
Mm-hmm.
This year, he's their best reliever,
right.
He's Nate Diaz.
Right.
The relievers are like that, man. It's like throwing crap against the wall. But I mentioned this earlier. You could rewind on the Odyssey app. The biggest problem everyone's going to have at the deadline is that a lot of baseball teams are terrible, and they don't have a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mediocrity of baseball is going to keep so many teams in the pennant race.
Well, the one team that's not that, who's bad, but probably has a good amount of talent, is the Orioles.
Yeah, but are they going to sell?
No.
And they're not selling to the Yankees.
I mean, they fired their manager. So in their mind, it's managerial underachievement. And so they still believe that there's something here.
I also think they're going to make a run. Mm. Not at the Yankees, but they're going to creep their way into this wild card race. It's going to be tough. They're 19-36. They're creating quite a hole, but right. Nationals kind of did that back in 2019.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.